Hare Krishna. Together we sit in the holy Dham of Shantipur. Shantipur is the home of Sri Advaitacharya. I will speak briefly because it is quite late. Some of you have to leave very early for trains in the morning. Sri Advaitacharya is avatar of Sadashiva, the original Shiva of the spiritual world, Mahavishnu, the original Purusha of the universal creation. From his exhalation, unlimited universes are created, emanating from the pores of his bodies, and by his inhalation, everything is consumed. That same personality descended into this world to assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by accepting the role of the servant of the servant. How Sri Advaita Prabhu longed for the opportunity to serve, we will discuss in our narration this evening. His father, Kuber Pandit, he appeared in this world in Navagram. Later on, his parents left this world and he came to Shantipur to live on banks of Ganga. He was married to Sita Thakurani, a plenary expansion of the goddess of fortune. Seeing the condition of the people of Kali Yuga, it was here in Shantipur that Advaita Prabhu made the vow to bring Krishna to the world, to deliver the fallen souls through the chanting of God's name and the spreading of pure unalloyed devotion. Haridas Thakur was chanting nearby in his cave in Phulia. Advaita Prabhu worshipping Shalagram with tulsi leaves and Ganga water in Shantipur, sometimes in his house in Navadvip. Srivas Thakur and his brothers were having Hari Kirtan in their homes, all with the intense prayer, Krishna, please come. There is no other way to deliver the souls of Kali Yuga unless you personally descend. In reciprocation to their loving prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, descended into this world to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love and to spread the love of Radharani, the love of Vrindavan, something that no avatar had ever done before. There is very much to say about this place. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya and manifested his lila as a devotee, Advaitacharya was then primarily living in Navadvipa. We heard stories of Vishwarup coming to his satsangs every day, spending the whole day with him, and how little Nimai would come to bring him home, and how Advaita Prabhu would be so captivated by the beauty of Nimai, but by the Lord's own yogamaya potency, he wasn't able to recognize him as his, as the answer to his prayers. But when he came from Gaya, the news spread throughout the entire Vaishnava community. Nimai has become a great Vaishnava. A Vaishnava like no one has ever seen. Soon after that, Gadadhar and Nimai went to the house of Advaita Prabhu in Navadvip. Advaita Prabhu was worshipping his deity of Madan Gopal. He was worshipping by offering tulsi leaves and prayers. Seeing the intense love of Sri Advaita, Lord Chaitanya became uncontrollably ecstatic. How Sri Advaita Prabhu, just in the act of offering some water and tulsi leaves to the deities, was exhibiting such love. And the Lord knows every devotee's heart. The Lord does not see with his eyes what you're offering. He's witnessing what is the love of the heart. That is what he accepts. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. Even a leaf, flower, or water, a little fruit, if it is offered with sincere love, the Lord accepts that as the greatest of all wealth. He is bhaktavatsal. He is not only conquered by his devotees, but he's always the well-wisher of his devotees. So, just seeing Advaita Prabhu performing this simple service to his house deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so ecstatic. He was literally overcome by Sri Advaita Prabhu's love, and the Lord fell unconscious. That is the power of Advaita's love. The Lord fell unconscious. Advaita Gadadhar was watching, what is happening now? And then Sri Advaita Prabhu, the Lord of my life has come. He took all the puja paraphernalia for the deity and offered it to the unconscious body of Lord Chaitanya. He went behind to Lord Chaitanya's feet. He bathed Lord Chaitanya's feet with his tears. And then he took the dust of his feet again and again, and by then it was Charanamrit, and he was putting it on his head. Then he offered Padya, Achaman, Aragya, Madhupark. Then he offered incense, lamps, flowers, chamara. And all the while he was chanting again and again and again the prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. In ecstatic love, performing all the 16 articles of worship to the lotus feet of Nimai while he was unconscious, weeping, crying, praying. Gadadhar Pandit, he was very struck with wonder. Nimai was his friend. Advaitacharya was older than Nimai's grandfather. He said to Advaita, why are you offering this puja to a boy? Advaita Prabhu laughed. He said, Gadadhar, how long will you go on thinking that he is only a boy? Gadadhar, in his heart, then was struck with the realization, Nimai is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Lord. When Vishwambhar came back to consciousness, he saw Advaitacharya with tears in his eyes offering prayers. Nimai sat. They embraced. At that time, Sri Advaita Prabhu was thinking in his mind, I have called him to descend. If he is really the one, if he is the person I have been crying for, fasting for, longing for, praying for, then he will accept me as his servant and he will call for me. I will go to Shantipur. And if he is actually my Lord, he will call for me to come to Navadvip. This will be my test. So Sri Advaita Prabhu came back to Shantipur, where we're sitting today. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya began his kirtans at Srivasa's house. After some time, Nityananda Prabhu came. But Lord Chaitanya was longing for the association of Sri Advaita. So one day he called for Ramai Pandit, the younger brother of Srivas Thakur, and said, Ramai, go to Shantipur and you deliver this message to Advaita Prabhu. Tell him that that person that he cried for, that he prayed for, that he longed for, that he fasted for, tell him that that person has appeared. And he is asking him to come now. And he will understand what you're saying. Ramai Pandit was very ecstatic. He didn't even know where Advaita Prabhu lived in Shantipur. He just walked. And he arrived by the Lord's mercy. When he came, Achyutananda, the little son of Advaita, was very, very small boy. Sita Thakurani was there. Advaita Prabhu was just doing his puja when a Ramai Pandit arrived here in Shantipur. As soon as he came, Sri Advaitacharya thought in his heart, he has come on the order of the Lord. I know exactly what the message will be. And he said to Ramai Pandit, I know why you have come. And Ramai Pandit said, of course you know everything. He said, well, tell me, why have you come? He said, Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, he has ordered me to give you this message that that person you prayed for, that person you fasted for, that person you cried incessant tears for, he has come. He has come to deliver all the world in the age of Kali Yuga. And he is calling for you now. Advaita Prabhu's reply was, where in the holy scriptures does it say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear and live with human beings in the town of Nadia? Tell me that. Ramai Pandit said, you know everything. Please come. Advaitacharya, when he heard this news, he was so ecstatic he fell to the ground unconscious. He began to weep. And along with him, Sita Thakurani, Achyutananda, they were weeping and crying with the thought that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has descended into the world in response to their prayers, to their tears. Advaita Prabhu told his good wife, gather all the ingredients to worship him. So she brought everything together and packaged it. Then Advaita told Ramai Pandit, if Lord Nimai or anyone else asks you, you tell them that you did not see me. I am going to hide in the house of Nandan Acharya. And if he is actually my Lord, then he will know where I am and he will come to get me. He will bind me up and come to get me. So Sri Advaita, my pundit, was very happy. He went back and did not say a single word to anyone. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya came to Srivas Thakur's house, sat on the throne of Vishnu and started crying, Nara, Nara! That is the name of Advaita Prabhu. He said, you are again playing tricks with me. You are testing me. You are in the house of Nandan Acharya. Ramai Pandit, go and get him. So Ramai Pandit went to Nandan Acharya's house and told everything to Advaita Prabhu. He was very ecstatic. Yes, the Lord has passed all the tests. He came to Srivasangam and offered his dandavat obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And along with his wife, he offered all puja and prayers and love to the Lord. And from that day, Advaitacharya was the constant companion of Lord Gauranga. We will try to remain with the pastimes that took place in Shantipuram today, of which there are unlimited. But because we are also limited, not only are we limited in that we're jivatmas, but we're also under the restraints of the time factor. Advaita Prabhu was one of the prominent, beloved disciples of Sri Padmadavendra Puri. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated him with great respect. When Lord Chaitanya, on those rare occasions, manifested his bhava of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he fulfilled everyone's desires by allowing them to worship him and serve him. But on most other occasions, he was always in the mood of a devotee because he wanted to teach the world how to be a devotee. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Lord in Bhagavad Gita told us how to surrender, but then out of his causeless mercy, he appeared as Sri Gaurasundar to practically demonstrate it by his life. Because after all, theoretical knowledge without practical demonstration is very difficult to grasp. That is why even today, simply reading the scriptures without associating with elevated devotees is very... things remain in the head, theoretical. But when we see advanced devotees who are actually surrendering their lives and applying the teachings of the scriptures, then we have faith. Yes, this is real. Then we understand this is actually how to do it. So that was Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He was showing us the way. And therefore he observed etiquette so very carefully. Because Advaita Prabhu's very, very senior age, and because he was the godbrother of his guru, Lord Chaitanya offered Advaita Prabhu and Srivas great respect. He would not allow them to serve him. He would take the dust of their feet. He would render menial services to them. And Advaita Prabhu and Srivas did not like that. Because from them, The only purpose of life is devotional service to the Lord. But the Lord was not accepting their service. Rather, He was serving them. This was intolerable. This is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. In the material world, people like others to serve them. Yes? But Advaita Prabhu, he just wanted to serve. There are many instances in Navadvipa where almost every time Lord Chaitanya would see Advaita Prabhu, he would go to take the dust from his feet. And Advaita Prabhu would do everything to stop him, but nothing could stop the will of the Lord. All the others, he would give instructions of how to go out. Nityananda Prabhu, go out and preach. Haridas Thakur, spread the glories of holy name. But he was never giving any instructions to Advaita Prabhu, because you are my guru's godbrother. He would inquire from Advaitacharya and ask him for instructions. So Sri Advaita became very much unhappy. And on one occasion, Lord Chaitanya went to take dust from his feet, and Advaitacharya tried everything within his power to stop him, but he was unsuccessful. One day he began to think that my Lord Gauranga is a thief. He is stealing from me. He is stealing my life. He has renounced the position of the Supreme Master. And he's grasping my feet. Very disturbing. The Lord is very powerful. I have no strength to stop him from taking dust from my feet. He may have defeated Bhrigu Muni. You know Bhrigu Muni kicked the Lord in the chest, and the Lord massaged his feet, and the Lord keeps Bhrigu Muni's foot on his chest. He said the Lord may have defeated Bhrigu Muni by being his servant. He said, but even I will keep hundreds and hundreds of Bhrigu Munis as my disciples. I cannot tolerate this. The Lord is my servant. But my eternal position is his servant. I must stop this. Lord Gauranga has descended into this world to spread pure, unalloyed devotional service. I will preach. I will preach in such a way that I give no importance to devotional service. The Lord has come to refute impersonalism. I will preach the glories of impersonalism. And then the Lord will become so overcome with anger, he will forget who he is, he will grab me by the hair, and he will punish me and thus accept me as his servant. He began to smile. He thought of the perfect plan. Then he went back to Shantipur, where we're sitting today, and he began to study Yoga Vashishta and the commentaries of the followers of Sripad Shankaracharya very carefully, and began to preach. He was preaching with tremendous enthusiasm that the goal of all scriptures is impersonal liberation. That impersonalism is the source, the root, and the cause of all causes. And devotional service cannot be achieved without
impersonal philosophical speculation. Devotional service is like a mirror, and impersonalism is like two eyes. What is the use of a mirror without two eyes? Therefore, I claim to all of you, I have studied all the scriptures exhaustively my whole life, and the conclusion is that there is no higher goal and no higher process to achieve the goal than impersonalism. Haridas Thakur would listen to him preaching and laugh. He knew Advaita Prabhu's love for Krishna. He understood the Lord's motivation. So one day, in Sri Navadvip Dham, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were roaming through the streets. It is described how Lord Chaitanya was observing the beauty of Navadvip. And he was very much thankful to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, seeing the Lord so happy with his creation, was feeling very, very happy in his heart. Then Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda Prabhu, "Let us go to Shantipur to visit Advaita Prabhu." So very happily, with smiles upon their faces, they began to walk along Ganga's bank. Halfway between Navadvip and Shantipur was a village called Lalitapur. There Nityananda Prabhu said, "Would you like to meet a sannyasi?" Yes, the Lord, he was grihastha then, he was always eager to meet sannyasis. So they went into the sannyasi's house, and the sannyasi, when he saw the beautiful forms of Gaur Nitai, he was so charmed in his heart. He just wanted to do something wonderful for them. So he gave them a benediction. He said, "My dear boys, I give you this benediction. May you enjoy wealth, prestige, sense gratification, and good marriage partner." Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, "What kind of benediction is that? If you want to give a benediction, you should benedict with pure devotion to Lord Krishna. Because that is eternal. Everything else is temporary." So the sannyasi, "Oh, you do not like my benediction? What is wrong with my benediction? You want devotion to Krishna? You call yourself a devotee? But think about things realistically. Without beautiful women, without fine clothes and ornaments, without wealth and nice home and the things to enjoy, then life is simply not worth living. Life is meaningless. And you're a devotee. How are you going to serve Krishna if you don't have money? I have given you a good benediction. What is wrong with it?" Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu replied that if these are good benedictions, then why are they all stolen away from us at the time of death? They are all temporary. The only thing that is eternal is devotional service to Lord Krishna. The real benediction is to always remember Krishna. The sannyasi became very upset. He said, I am a senior scholar. I have traveled to Badrikashram, Keshinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Jamunotri, Haridwar, Rishikesh, Varanasi, Rameshwar, Jagannath Puri, Dwarka. I have traveled to all the holy places over many, many years and studied all the great scriptures and met so many holy men. And today, a mere boy who's still drinking the milk from his mother's breast is telling me what is right." Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he said, Swamiji, he's just a boy. Please don't take him seriously. He said, please take your meal at my house today. Nityananda Prabhu said, actually, we have to go. No, no, I insist. Take your bath in the Ganga, then come back and eat food, my food. So he asked them with so much intense enthusiasm that they agreed to eat some fruit. So they took their bath and came back and were eating some mangoes and other fruits. Meanwhile, he was so charmed by their personalities, by their beauty, by their spiritual countenance, that he wanted to do something special for them. So while they were eating their fruit, the sannyasi said, would you like some bliss? Nityananda Prabhu, he traveled to many holy places. And he met many different types of sadhus. So he knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, no, 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 we don't want like that. The sannyasi said, please, please, just take a little bliss. Nityananda Prabhu said, no, 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 no. And at that point, entered into the room was the sannyasi's wife. He was some sort of tantric sannyasi, which is not follow the same vows that our Gaudiya Vaishnav sannyasis follow. At least, they're not supposed to follow. So his wife said that his wife was so attracted to these two people, Gorni Thai. She just couldn't stop staring at their beauty. She said, please don't keep bothering them like this. Don't bother them. But then he asked again, please, please, just once, accept some bliss. Nityananda Prabhu said, no! Lord Gauranga said, what is bliss? And Nityananda Prabhu said, what he's talking about is wine. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, hi, hi, he ran outside of the door and jumped in the Ganga. Then Nityananda Prabhu jumped in the Ganga after him. And then they just started floating downstream of the Ganga towards Shantipur. Now it's interesting to understand how, even though this man was a rascal, because he had an enthusiasm to serve the Lord accepted his service and even took prasad in his house. But the impersonalists, the Lord will never accept anything from. So now we're getting to that part of the story. The bridge has connected. So as Lord Chaitanya was floating in the current of the Ganga with Nityananda Prabhu, he loudly started crying out, Nara, Nara, Advaita! You have called me from the spiritual world to teach devotional service, and now you are hiding it by your own words. I have come to test you. Only Nityananda Prabhu heard him, and he was laughing very loudly. Then they came to Shantipur, and both lords came out of the Ganga onto the bank, and there, right near the bank, was Sri Advaita Prabhu, teaching Yoga Vashishta, impersonalistic philosophy. He was teaching about the supremacy of impersonalism and the insignificance of bhakti. When he saw Lord Chaitanya approaching, he knew the Lord could now hear him, so he intensified his enthusiasm to preach this doctrine by manyfold. He was roaring like a lion that if anyone wants to understand the highest truths, they must practice impersonal philosophical speculation. Devotional service is just totally depending on impersonalism for its very existence. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he was trembling with anger. His eyes became red. He called out in a loud, thunderous voice, "Advaita, you answer my question. There is impersonalism and personalism. Of the two, which is superior?" And Advaitacharya, with tremendous conviction, with a loud, thundering voice, he replied, "Of the two, impersonalism is always superior. Devotional service is utterly dependent on impersonal philosophy." When he said that, Lord Chaitanya went mad. He jumped to the raised platform and dragged Advaita off from his Vyasasan. And with his fist, he smashed Advaita Prabhu. Meanwhile, Sita Thakurani, the wife, she was really afraid for her husband's life. She just called out, "Please, please, stop! He's an old man! He's a very, very old man! If you hit him again, he will die! What religious principle is there in killing such an old Brahmin? Please, please, stop! Spare his life!" Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu was laughing like anything. And Haridas Thakur was very fearful of what was happening. Lord Gauranga could not hear anything that Sita Thakurani was speaking because he was so completely absorbed in punishing Advaita. Then he started screaming out, "Advaita! Nara! Why? Why did you bother me when I was sleeping in the ocean of milk? I was living in Vaikuntha, performing my eternal pastimes. And you called for me. You prayed for me. You fasted for me. You wept for me. You begged me to descend to this world to teach devotional service, which was your mission. And now I have come to establish devotional service. And you are hiding it? You are preaching against it? Why have you called me?" The Lord was furious. And then he sat down next to the door and started crying out, "I am the Supreme Lord. I am the one that killed Kamsa. I am the one that cut off the arms of Banasura. I am the one that cut off the head of Bhomasura. I am the one who have subdued Kaliya. I am the one who lifted the Govardhan hill with my left hand to subdue the pride of Indra. I killed Hiranyakashipu to save my devotee Prahlad." When Advaitacharya was beat up, chastised, and the Lord revealed his supreme position, he became ecstatic. Advaita Prabhu started clapping his hands and dancing in ecstasy. He said, "Oh, my Lord! Where is your flattering words now? Oh, my Lord, where is all of your glorification now? Oh, my Lord, where is all your services to me now? You have punished me. You have chastised me. Now you have accepted me as your servant. All of my ambitions, all of my desires, all of my prayers have now been fulfilled." And he was dancing and dancing and dancing ecstatically, bathing all directions with tears of happiness. Lord Chaitanya was very embarrassed. He realized that he had been tricked and defeated by his devotee.
Sri Advaita Prabhu offered beautiful prayers. And the gist of those prayers is that the perfection of life is to be accepted as the servant of the servant of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to glorify the servants of the Lord. He said, anyone who offends my devotees, I care nothing for that person. If one is chanting the holy names and offends my devotees, then the holy name, which is a kalpa vriksha tree, will punish that person. Even if one is a very austere and learned sannyasi, if he blasphemes the Vaishnavas, he will fall down. But even an ordinary person who does not criticize devotees and who chants the holy name, I will deliver that person and give him pure love. Please hear me, everyone. Do not criticize devotees and chant the holy names of the Lord, and I will give you love of Krishna. The Lord made it that easy. Of course, for the rest of us, it may not be that easy. Because everyone has their justifications of why they can criticize devotees. But whether the Lord accepts that justification, it is a big risk. So it was here in Shantipur that the Lord fulfilled Advaita Prabhu's great desire, accepted him as a servant, and established to the whole world how dear his devotees is to him. Yes, here in Shantipur, Sri Advaita Prabhu defeated Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his love. Of course, we should know that ultimately, the Lord, whatever he did, was to reciprocate with this mysterious form of Advaita Prabhu's love. But between the two of them, they wanted to show the world how much the Lord does not like impersonal philosophy. Why? Because if we think that the Lord's body, his form, his name, his dham, his pastimes, his qualities are maya, if we do not accept the eternal form, pastimes, of the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then real love cannot awaken in our heart. Devotion is eternal. There are many philosophers who teach devotion as a means of impersonal realization. That is not real devotion. That is not bhakti. They call it bhakti, but it is not bhakti. Bhakti is the eternal nature of the soul, to eternally love Krishna, whose beautiful body is full of knowledge and full of bliss forever. Therefore, in Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatyadeshatari. The mission of Lord Chaitanya was to establish pure love. And an inseparable aspect of establishing pure love is to chop down the weeds of impersonalistic tendencies. Because our relationship with God is personal. Our relationship with every devotee must be personal. If we have impersonal relationships with the devotees, then we cannot actually cultivate personal relationships with God. Bhakta Jana, because the devotees are the Lord's representatives in this world. As we treat the devotees, the Lord accepts our devotion. If we treat devotees
personally. If we serve the deity personally, if we chant the name with personal conception, then the Lord will personally accept our service and reciprocate by revealing himself personally. So yes, Advaitacharya not only wanted to be accepted as the servant of the Lord, but he wanted to also show the world how the Lord has distaste for the impersonalism that cheats the heart from any possibility of real eternal love. For a devotee to hear that ultimately the Lord's body and his personality and all of his loving qualities are temporary, are an illusion, that you could go beyond that, it breaks the devotee's heart. It's unbearable. So here in Shantipur, Sri Advaita Prabhu, he knew if there's anything in the whole wide world that will anger the Lord to beat me, it's if I teach impersonalism. Hare Krishna. And that is what he did. And thus, the Lord accepted him as servant. We went to Katwa. Last night we discussed the Lord's Leela of taking sannyas. After he accepted the sannyas mantra and vows from Sri Keshav Bharati Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began a very, very loving kirtan. And then he told everyone that he was going to Vrindavan. Keshav Bharati followed him for some time, then the Lord sent him back. At that time, it was just Lord Chaitanya, Chandrasekhar Acharya, Nityananda, and Mukunda. They entered into the land of Radhadesh. For 3 days, they were wandering around. Lord Chaitanya was in so much ecstasy. He was chanting the prayer of the Avanti Brahman from the Srimad Bhagavat, 11th canto, where he's revealing what is the real essence of sannyas. Exclusive, unconditional surrender at the lotus feet of Mukunda. We don't take sannyas for prestige. We don't take sannyas for position. We don't take sannyas for liberation. We simply take sannyas so our body, mind, words, and life can exclusively be dedicated to the lotus feet of Mukunda, so that we can wholeheartedly take shelter of Mukunda, because that is the way of all the previous acharyas. They have attained the ultimate liberation of pure bhakti by taking wholehearted shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda. The Lord was in such an ecstasy that he was going to Vrindavan to fully surrender to the feet of Lord Krishna. On his way in Radhadesh, he met some cowherd boys. Intoxicated with ecstatic love, Lord Chaitanya did not know which way he was going or which way he was not going. He saw these cowherd boys and induced them, "Please, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, chant the holy names of Lord Hari." And the little boys, they became so ecstatic in the Lord's association, they started chanting and dancing with the Lord. The Lord became very affectionate toward them. He patted them on top of their heads. Nityananda Prabhu took those little cowherd boys off to the side and secretly gave them an instruction. that please, whatever I tell you, just do it, don't think about. When Swamiji asks you, which way is Vrindavan? Point to the direction of the Ganga. A few minutes later, Lord Chaitanya, in his ecstatic love, asked the boys, where is Vrindavan? Where is Vrindavan? Where is Krishna? Please, please, show me the way to Vrindavan. They said, it is that way. Ah, he went dancing, running toward Vrindavan. And after some time, he asked Nityananda Prabhu, how much further is it? Have we come close yet? How much longer will it be till we reach Vrindavan? And Nityananda Prabhu said, oh, look, there's the Jamuna River right there. And Lord Gauranga, Jamuna! Vrindavan! He ran. He offered his obeisances and offered beautiful prayers to the river Jamuna. Beautiful prayers. That your nectarine ambrosial waters, O Jamuna Mayi, they award a person pure unalloyed love for Krishna. You are the very self-same river of the spiritual world that has descended to this world. Your mercy, your kindness, is you remove all bondage from whoever takes shelter of you. I offer obeisances to you. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu sent Chandrasekhar Acharya to Shantipur previously and told him, have Advaita Prabhu come with dry clothes for Lord. So as the Lord was in ecstasy, he had attained Vrindavan, his life's deepest desire. He was bathing in Jamuna. He was in ecstasy. And then on a boat came Advaita Prabhu. Saying, here is some dry cloth. Because he had no dry cloth. Lord Gauranga, he said, Advaita Prabhu, how did you know I was in Vrindavan? How is it that you have come to Vrindavan? Advaita Prabhu said, how are you in the Jamuna? Advaita Prabhu said, this is the Ganga, we're in Shantipur. Huh? Nityananda Prabhu has cheated me. Then Advaita Prabhu said, no, he has not cheated you. He has told you the truth. Because actually, at Prayag, Ganga and Jamuna come together. Sangam. And from that point on, the eastern side of the river is Ganga and the western side is Jamuna. And because you're on the western side of the river, you are bathing in Jamuna. And Nityananda Prabhu didn't say anything wrong, because as far as you being in Vrindavan, my Lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. But you have been fasting for 3 full days. First put on these dry clothes, and I have made some bhoga, and I have offered it to Lord Krishna. There's just a little wet sabji and some rice. Please come and take it as alms. So they got on Lord Advaita Prabhu's boat, and he brought them here. And do you know where they sat to eat prasad? Right where we are sitting today. This small shrine is the place that Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu would enjoy their prasad pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shown the offering. There were so many cakes and so many sabjis and so much rice with so much ghee. It was an incredible offering.